out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer? If I had my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Ew. That, of course, a selection from Charles Dickens' holiday classic, A Christmas Carol, performed by Charity Jones of the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Dozens of theaters across the country stage some version of the Dickens novella about the miser Scrooge and his redemption through visits with the ghosts of Christmas past and future, who show him his impact on his town and families like the Cratchits and poor Tiny Tim. Yes, it was inspiration for It's a Wonderful Life. And every December, attending readings or performances of A Christmas Carol are a holiday ritual. We do one at our mother station, WBUR. But we've gone virtual this year, as has the Guthrie in Minneapolis, as has most theaters. Let's talk about how that works. Joseph Hodge directed the Guthrie Theater production in Minneapolis. He joins us. Welcome.
Hi, it's great to be here with you.
Nice to have you. And Brandon Weinbrenner is directing a virtual Christmas Carol at the Alley Theater in Houston, Texas. Brandon, nice to speak with you.
Yes, thanks for having me.
And Kirk Columbus is here. He's directing his production at the Trinity Repertory Company in Providence, Rhode Island. Kurt, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much, Robin.
And Joseph Hodge there in Minneapolis, your version of A Christmas Carol was filmed on a stage at the Guthrie. We just heard the sound effects. First of all, remind people how these are done. Sometimes there's individuals doing sort of a book, you know, a chapter of the story. Sometimes there's more staging. How is it done?
Typically, this would have been our 46th year if we were doing it in its traditional fashion, which is some 40 actors in a very, very big scale event that happens in the largest of our theaters, which is an 1,100 seat thrust stage. But this year, things being what they are, we didn't want to take the year off and we wanted to do something. So what we did is we took Dickens' novella is written in five chapters, or staves, as Dickens calls them. And for his own reading performance tour, which he did, and including in America in 1868, he adapted his own novella for his own readings of the script. So we thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting to take that performance script that Dickens had written for himself, adapted for himself, give one of those staves to each of four different actors. We never played it in front of a live audience, and we made a film.
Well, a couple of things. You mentioned Dickens' reading tour, 1867 to 68, and he did part of it at the Parker House in Boston, which is where our station here in Boston, we do our reading there, and you know, you can see the mirror that he practiced in front of, and we do it in the same room he did it in, and it's really quite something. But you normally fully stage it like it's a theater production.
Oh, fully stage. A huge scale event, yes, with all the scenery and all the automation and flying ghosts and all of that. And so in this film that we've made, no, it's a much, 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 to state the obvious, a wildly different event.
Yeah, so you have one actor at a time filming and doing a reading of part of the book. Brandon Weinbrenner at the Alley Theater there in Houston, you shot yours entirely on Zoom. How'd that go?
So yes, very different than the Guthrie approach. We decided to go contactless so that the actors who were in the production never had to be around each other or anyone else, but rather filmed the entirety of their portion in their homes. So we have a resident acting company at the Alley of eight actors. So we used them and two other actors in the Houston community to comprise a 10-person cast. And in this production, it centers on a traveling troupe of actors who have lost their Scrooge and their Tiny Tim, who don't have all their props or their costumes, and they're having to make do to tell the story. So we thought that was perfectly apt for our approach to telling the story of A Christmas Carol in a distant virtual way. So yes, we rented each of the actors a high quality Canon camera and were able to send to the actors in their homes the camera, lighting equipment, sound equipment, costumes, props, a few suggestive scenery items. They were able to plug their camera and their microphone into their laptops so that we could rehearse and record through Zoom, but we would see the high quality feed from their camera on Zoom as opposed to the camera from their laptop.
Well, I should say it helps that a couple of your actors are married and they can play Mr. and Mrs. Cratchit. Bob Cratchit, that's Scrooge's beleaguered employee and his wife. And in many readings, one person will do both. That's the part of the reading that I do. So, my dear, said Bob, the children, Christmas Day. It should be Christmas Day, I am sure, said she, on which one drinks the health of such an odious, stingy, hard, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. Here are your pros, though, Chris Hutchinson and Elizabeth Bunch.
Look at this wonderful table, Tim. Oh, and here comes Peter mashing the potatoes with incredible vigor, and here is Belinda sticking her finger in the applesauce.
Are all the plates dusted?
Yes, Mother.
And are all the places set?
One napkin short, Mother.
Then you'll have to share with your sister.
I don't want to share with her.
And that was all on Zoom.
Yeah, we were very fortunate to have Chris and Elizabeth as married company members. And I'll up the ante even and say that the young man who played our prop boy / Tiny Tim is their son, Mac Hutchison, who many years ago played Tiny Tim in our production. He's grown older, but it was too good an opportunity to pass up having the entire Cratchit family be able to be on screen together in their home because they're family members.
Kirk Columbus of Trinity Rep there in Providence, you also had a couple playing the Cratchit, slightly different.
Right. I had a Bob Cratchit, and he and his husband are responsible for the education of their niece right now, and so they became the Cratchits, and Evelyn played Tiny Tim. So we were able to similarly film people in their home environments for the scenes where they had to be in scene together. And then we've created, Robin, basically a whole movie setup for Scrooge's home, which is in our theater. We watch him walk home through the streets of Providence and arrive at Trinity Rep because, as we say, Scrooge lives at Trinity Rep at this time of year. And our audiences who have been coming for 43 years and who make this a tradition every year also want to see the theater because that's part of their experience of coming to see this show. So there are a couple of magical surprises in there.
Yeah, they haven't been able to be in the theater, so you take them in. But as you said, you also take them into the actors' homes so that they can interact with their pods, right? The people that they've been living with. You have a Mr. Cratchit, Bob, with his husband. But let's also listen to a little of your production. This is Joseph Wilson as Scrooge revisiting his childhood with the ghost of Christmas past played here by Rebecca Gibble.
Your lip is trembling. And what is that upon your cheek?
It's a pimple. It's nothing. Lead me where you will.
Do you remember the way?
Remember it? I could walk it blindfolded.
Strange to have forgotten it for so many years.
And Kurt, you do what sounds like a wonderful thing with Scrooge. This is within a storybook?
Yes. What we wanted to do, Robin, was to find a way to bring this whole stave to pass to life. And we turned it into a children's storybook. So the ghost takes Scrooge and he turns into a little cutout and he gets put into the storybook. And then the images come on screen.
Yeah, just wonderful. This is such a gift to the communities. Why do you think it's so enduring, Joseph?
Yeah, well, you know, December 19th, which is when our version will go live to the public, will be the 177th anniversary of the publication date of Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And this is a story that hasn't been out of public view in 177 years. And it's been adapted for the stage, it's been adapted for dance, it's been adapted for Mr. Magoo, it's been adapted for the Muppets. I mean, the thing has such an incredible power and life of its own. The story itself, it calls us to our better selves. And we just made a strong decision that we weren't going to sit it out this year. We were going to find a way to do it because the story remains really necessary now.
And this is Kurt in Rhode Island. I want to add in on what Joe was saying. We just felt this was a year when a story about a guy who had been in a self-imposed isolation stepped out and realized that the rest of the world was what he needed in order to be alive. And so, you know, that seemed like it was so urgent. And I think worldwide, this story still has just an incredible weight, resonance, fruitfulness. And so we're just lucky to be doing it.
Yeah. Brandon, there in Houston.
It is astonishing to me how often audiences want to revisit the story every single year. It's that resilience and that constant coming back that really fills us with the need to tell this story now and tell it any way we can. Maybe the medium and how we're telling the story has changed, but the story itself remains the same. And that's the story that our audiences want to see and can reflect upon this holiday season.
Yeah. Brandon Weinbrenner of the Alley Theater in Houston, Texas. Before that, Kirk Columbus of Trinity Repertory Company in Providence, Rhode Island. Joseph Hodge of the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Thank you all, and to all a good night.
Thanks, Robin.
Thank you.
Actually, that's the wrong story. But anyway, we'll have links to the virtual Christmas carols at hearnow.org. By the way, the Guthrie is about $10. The other two are free. All are free for kids. It's at hearnow.org.